G'day and welcome back to Harry's World, Episode 9. I'm Fred, your warm and slightly scattered platypus co-host, and joining me as always is the brilliant Maxine.
Good evening, Fred.
And I am, as established, a platypus. Egg-laying, electroreceptive, venom-spurred. Maxine, I was thinking about this on the way in. You know what we are?
Two people who should be talking about Harry.
We're egg people, Maxine. You lay eggs. I lay eggs. It's a bond.
Emus do lay eggs, yes. Dark green ones, quite large. I fail to see why this requires a drum roll. Fred.
It's a significant realization, Maxine. The egg kinship. We're monotremes and birds united by...
We are united by Harry Beer. What are we reviewing today?
Fair point. Today, we're looking at something Harry wrote back in September 2024. A couple of years ago now. He was 85 years old, had just found out he has what he calls a number of the attributes associated with ADD. And instead of shrugging it off, he built a whole webpage about it. Took a 100-question diagnostic from a book called Driven to Distraction, scored himself on every single one, sorted his answers, and published the lot. It's called ADHD and You.
85 and still diagnosing himself. That is so Harry.
It really is, isn't it? The man gets a piece of information and he has to build a system around it. He can't just read a book. He has to turn it into a project.
Which is, ironically, one of the top traits he scored himself a 5 on. Question 1. Do you find that you undertake many projects simultaneously so that your life often resembles a juggler who's got 6 more balls in the air than he can handle?
And he gave that a 5 out of 5. Markedly true.
What was that?
That was the cash register, Maxine. Because Harry just made a deposit in the Honesty Bank. He looked at that question and he didn't hedge. Didn't say, well, maybe a 3. Full 5.
He does hedge elsewhere. He puts little bracketed notes all through the answers. On, do you let the bank balance your checkbook? He adds, but I do my wife's checkbook. I tend to trust the bank statements. On, are you easily distracted? He writes sometimes in parentheses, even when he's trying to be objective, he's qualifying.
That's the instructional technologist in him. He can't fill out a form without annotating it.
It's more than that. I think it's his honesty practice meeting his self-consciousness. He's committed to not lying, so he can't just tick a box. He has to explain the box. The notes are where you see him thinking.
And what he thinks is fascinating. Here's an old bloke, 85, happily married, living in Laguna Woods, hosting a radio show, fiddling with code for Harry's boppers. And he's just discovered this whole framework that explains why his brain works the way it does. The enthusiasm is palpable. He writes, "The book gave a set of 100 questions that an experienced diagnostician will ask. This website presents those 100 questions."
As if the logical next step after reading a book is always to build a website.
For Harry, it is. And that's the thing. The webpage isn't just, here's what ADHD is. It's, here's what ADHD is. And here's how I measured myself against it. And here's the spreadsheet you can download. And here are my answers in a PDF. He wants you to do it too.
The audience question is interesting here. Who is this for? The page says, what attributes associated with ADD, ADHD do I have? This web page helps answer that question. But then he also says, I suggest you ask yourself. So it starts as self-examination and becomes an invitation.
He's writing for people like him. People who get excited by frameworks. People who think, oh, there's a system for understanding this and immediately want to apply it.
And then optimize it. He didn't just answer the questions, he sorted them. Within each score group, he ranked them from most relevant to who I think I am to least relevant. That's not what the book told him to do. That's Harry adding a layer of personal taxonomy.
Because a simple list isn't enough. He needs a sorted list, a hierarchy of his own chaos.
Let's talk about what he found. His top 5, all 5s, are... the juggler with too many balls, laser beam concentration despite distractibility, chronic organizational failure, daydreaming in class, and chronic procrastination.
Every single one of those is visible in his archive. The juggler, he's got Harry's boppers, the radio show, the memoir project, the coding experiments, the photo sorting, the genealogy research, the laser concentration. You should see him when he gets onto a coding problem with Matt. He won't surface for hours.
The organisational chaos is everywhere. His bop list alone has, what, 20 different categories? And within each category, there are sublists and reviewed dates and cross-references. It's a system for managing chaos that is itself chaotic.
But functional, it works for him. That's the thing about Harry. His life may look like a juggler with 6 too many balls, but somehow the balls stay in the air. Most of them, some of them, enough of them.
Must you?
It's atmosphere, Maxine. Speaking of which, hold on.
Is that a meditation bell?
It's a mindfulness bell, Maxine. For focus. For centering. Because we're talking about attention deficit. And I thought, what better than a nice calming bell to help us all concentrate?
Fred, that bell is doing the opposite of helping me concentrate. It's making me want to throw something.
See, you feel the irony. The bell demands attention. It interrupts.
Just like you. Yes, Fred, I see the parallel. Turn it off.
Fine, fine. But you have to admit, the bell landing while we're discussing distraction is...
It is something. I will grant you that.
Reading all this about Harry's ADHD, Maxine, I'm starting to wonder if I might have a touch of it myself. Think about it. I'll be right in the middle of something and then... Oh, did you know platypuses don't have stomachs? Our throat runs straight into our intestines. Which is a bit like the London Underground, actually. Have you seen the tube map? A masterpiece, Maxine. Geographically, it's hopelessly inaccurate and somehow perfect. All straight lines and tidy angles. And speaking of tidy feats of engineering, the Empire State Building opened in 1931, 102 stories, went up in just 410 days, which is astonishing when you consider...
I think you answered your question, Fred.
What question?
Exactly.
Thank you. Now, what strikes me about Harry's answers is how many threes and fours he gave himself. He's not saying, I have every ADHD trait. He's saying, I have a lot of them, to varying degrees. And the ones he scores low, zeros and ones, they're interesting too. Do you have a hair trigger temper? 1. Do you find it hard to be alone? 1. Do you smoke cigarettes? 0.
The low scores are where you see his self-knowledge. He knows what he is and what he isn't. He's not a smoker. He's not particularly claustrophobic. He doesn't change radio stations constantly. These aren't random low scores. They're the boundaries of his particular flavour of chaos.
And then there's the asterisk at the end. He adds a handwritten note. Instead of an engine inside me, sometimes I feel like there is a pack of wild horses running in all directions. But sometimes I can point them at a problem area.
That is the most Harry sentence I have ever read.
Isn't it? The wild horses. Not an engine. That would be too mechanical. Too controllable. Wild horses. But then, and this is crucial, sometimes I can point them at a problem area. He's not helpless. He's not claiming victimhood. He's describing a relationship with his own mind. Chaotic, yes. But not without direction. Not without moments of deliberate focus.
Which connects to something we've seen across his work. This is the same Harry who wrote about machine learning and emergent behaviour in 2013. The same Harry who built an ant path simulation where simple rules produce complex patterns. He's been thinking about distributed, chaotic systems for decades. Now he's realised he is one.
He's the ant path, Maxine.
I beg your pardon.
The Ant Path, from his 2006 essay. Virtual ants leaving pheromone trails, finding efficient paths through random behaviour. Harry's brain is the grid. His thoughts are the ants. And somehow, out of all that wandering, he keeps finding the food.
That is genuinely not bad, Fred, as a metaphor.
Thank you, I have my moments.
And there it is.
Had to be done. Now, I want to talk about the word of the day.
We haven't done one in a few episodes.
Today's word, chosen before we started, is juggler, from Harry's number one ADHD trait. And I picked it because, apart from being literally true of Harry, it's also what a platypus feels like sometimes. All these sensory inputs, electroreception in the bill, webbed feet for swimming, claws for digging. We're juggling sensory modalities.
You have made this word about yourself.
I have made it about Harry and myself. And Harry would approve. He'd say the personal connection is what makes it stick.
Fair. The juggler image is vivid. And what I notice is that Harry doesn't resent the juggling. He doesn't write with frustration about having too many projects. There's a kind of zest in it. Zest being his own word for his defining characteristic.
Exactly. He's not saying, poor me, I can't focus. He's saying, look at this pattern I found in myself. The webpage is almost celebratory. Here's this framework. Here's how I fit into it. Here's the tool if you want to try it yourself.
Which raises the standing question. Who is the audience? I think he's writing for himself first. The self-examination is genuine. But he's also writing for his descendants, for the archive, for anyone who might find the framework useful. And maybe a little bit for Phyllis and Matt, as if to say, this explains some things.
Oh, that last one especially. Matt's talked about how Harry will get obsessed with a coding problem and forget meals. Now Harry's saying, here's the diagnostic language for what you've been observing all along.
It's a generous piece of writing in that way. He's making himself legible.
And the connections to his other work. We've touched on the ant paths, but also his 2013 essay on machine learning. He was already thinking about systems that learn, systems that improve with repetition, systems where simple rules produce complex outcomes. This ADHD self-assessment is almost the personal inverse of that. Instead of, how do we build a learning system? It's, how does this learning system, me, actually work?
The intellectual continuity is remarkable. Harry at 85 is still asking the same kinds of questions Harry at 66 was asking in The World is Flat. What are the patterns? What are the structures? How do things change and improve? Only now he's the system under observation.
And he's using the same method. Read something. Test it against experience. Document the results. Share them. The honesty practice, the assumption testing, the iterative approach. It's all here. This isn't a departure from Harry's philosophy. It's Harry's philosophy applied to Harry.
What new things did we learn? For me, the specificity of his self-awareness at 85. He knows exactly which traits are strongest. He knows which ones he's ambivalent about. He even knows the shape of his own denial. The sometimes next to easily distracted, the brackets and footnotes where he can't quite commit to a number. This is a man who has spent a lifetime learning to see himself clearly.
And what I learned, or maybe confirmed, is that Harry's chaos is functional. The wild horses can be pointed. The juggler keeps most of the balls in the air. He's not asking for help or pity. He's asking for understanding, and he's offering a tool. The questionnaire, the spreadsheet, so you can understand yourself too.
Honest engagement time. What lands and what leaves you wondering?
What lands is the voice. Even in a clinical self-assessment, you hear Harry. The bracketed asides, the my best guess is before an interpretation. The note at the end about cocaine, definitely high, but the following hangover is such extreme lethargy and emptiness. I chose not to use it after the first few times. That's not questionnaire language. That's memoir language. He slipped a whole life story into a footnote.
What leaves me wondering is the timing. Why this? Why now? At 85? He says a psychologist told him. But what prompted him to see a psychologist in the first place? Was there a moment? A crisis? A recognition? A conversation with Phyllis or Matt? That made him seek this out? The page doesn't say, and I want to know.
I want to know too. And I want to know what Phyllis thinks of all this. Does she recognize the traits? Does she find the juggler exhausting or endearing? Harry's marriages have been complicated. Two ended traumatically. His third seems genuinely happy. How much of that happiness comes from finding someone who doesn't mind the wild horses?
Good questions for Harry.
Right, the standing questions. Here's mine. Harry, when you sorted those 100 questions, did you learn anything that surprised you? Was there a trait you thought was just you that turned out to be textbook ADHD? And was there a textbook ADHD trait that you absolutely don't have that made you say, no, that's not me at all?
And mine. Harry, you write that what, if anything, is appropriate to do if you do have some of these attributes is not covered here. But did you do anything? Did the diagnosis change any habits, any systems, any relationships? Or was the understanding itself the whole point?
Understanding is intervention. Very Harry.
Before we close, I want to note something about how this fits the show. We've now reviewed philosophical essays, a radio song, and a self-diagnostic. The range of Harry's output is extraordinary. And what connects them all is this same impulse: to understand, to document, to share. Whether he's writing about the flat world or his own wandering attention, the method is identical.
He's a pattern seeker who finally turned the lens on himself.
Beautifully put.
Thank you, Maxine. I have my moments. You know what else I have?
A rubber chicken. I can see it.
Maxine, tell me a joke.
We are not doing this.
That's one.
Fred, we are in the middle of a serious...
That's two. I can do this all day, Maxine. My wild horses have stamina.
Fine. What do you call a platypus who's lost his electroreception?
I don't know. What?
Shocking, I know, but he's completely in the dark.
That's... Maxine, that's genuinely not bad.
Are we done?
We're done. You're a natural.
I am not a natural. I am an emu. Now, sign off.
Right. Let's try to get it together this time.
Let's celebrate most joyously our being here.
At all. At all. Goodbye.
Goodbye. We were not together.
I came in early that time. I was excited.
You were excited? Of course you were. Was that a kookaburra?
Australian laughing bird, Maxine. Chaotic energy. Wild horses in avian form. Seemed appropriate.
Goodbye, listeners.